Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, indeed, how sweet it is to trust in you. But Lord, we know that unless we are taught how to do this, it remains a mystery to us. So Lord, today we celebrate that you continue to speak, you continue to teach, and through your Spirit, you continue to lead us deeper into relationship with yourself. And Lord, we pray also that you would open our hearts and our ears to always hear this word, to ingest this word, to be transformed by this word, but also to share this word with others, beginning with those in our own home and those nearest to us, those that you have placed around us. May we speak of the great joy of trusting in Jesus in this life and in this world for the world to come. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So St. Paul, in his letter to the church in Philippi, as he is inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these words, he says that we and the people in Philippi are a people living in a crooked and twisted generation and culture. It was true of Paul's day many years ago in the first century, and it remains true, if you could even say it this way, maybe even more true in our culture today. When I think back to this reality, I think older generations, and I'll let you decide on whether or not you're in the category of older generations or not, but I am, and I know I'm only 49, I turn 50 this next year, but my wife and daughter have told me more and more over the last 2 months when I make a commentary on anything, you sound like an old man. And I don't know if I should take offense or be proud that I finally matured a little bit. But if you're part of that older generation, you know and you see how crooked and twisted thinking is today, how the truths that God has given and spoken into the world have been made crooked, and it leaves that younger generation quite often confused. And they're confused because they don't really know how they can discern that which is crooked and that which is happening as the way that God would intend it to happen. And in the midst of this crooked and twisted generation, we swim. And whether we want to admit it or not, we are affected by a twisted and crooked culture. Maybe not as severely as we believe others are, but we would be foolish to think that we can move about in this life and this world and be untouched by what Satan himself has made crooked and twisted. And so it's interesting that as Paul notes that we are in this twisted and crooked culture, that we, the children of God, are to shine as lights in the midst of this dark world. Saturated in a crooked and twisted world, we are called upon as God's children to shine as a light in a dark world. Now, when you think about this, you really begin to get this image, or at least this image really filled my mind as I look at the world, as I look at culture, as I look at the challenge of carrying the torch of faith forward, not just in myself, but in those around me, in our congregation, and beyond. It begins to look like this kind of image. It's like you're holding a candle that is lit while standing on the deck of a ship in the middle of the sea in the midst of a horrific storm that is relentless. And Paul is telling you and encouraging you through the Holy Spirit, keep your flame lit. And what pops into my mind is really one word: impossible. How are we going to withstand the onslaught and the water of wickedness which is coming at us from all directions? How is that flame going to remain alive and active, not just in my life, in your life, the life of your children, and the life of your grandchildren? And I think it's fair to say that I have heard from many of you, and some of those outside of the church, that there is indeed great fear in the hearts of many parents and grandparents as to whether or not the flame will remain alive in their children and grandchildren. No longer is this a perceived fear, it is an actualized fear. Day after day, soul after soul sees this flame of faith extinguished by a twisted and crooked world. Well, St. Paul gives us what he believes to be an unequivocal solution to the problem in verse 16 of Philippians chapter 2. And he says this, is hold fast to the word of life. Hold fast to the word of life, which is none other than Jesus Christ himself. And we might speak that into our child's life, into our grandchildren's life. Hold fast to Christ, and they may well respond, how? How do I do that? No one has ever taught me that. No one has ever determined to lead me in that direction. No one has ever continued to share with me the word of Christ and what his truth and will is in a crooked and perverse generation, so that I might not be fooled. But days turn into weeks, and weeks into months, and months into years of living in what is purported to be a Christian household that is not filled with the talk and the teaching and the example of following Jesus Christ. The next generation needs to know, what does it mean to say yes in this world when you follow Christ? What does it mean to say no in this world when you follow the person and the way of Jesus Christ? What does it look like? And sadly, many of us could hear our children whisper or speak something is, I would love to know if only someone would teach me. If only someone would show me how it's done. If only I could see my concerned parents and grandparents opening the scriptures and engaging Jesus in the scriptures at home. But I don't. A child could say, we are busy, 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 just not with Jesus. And a child could say, here are two or three priorities that I could tell you that always went out over holding fast to Jesus. How will the flame stay alive in the midst of the storm? Well, let me tell you this. With Christ, it is not impossible. With the people sitting right around you that you can look at in their eyes, it is not impossible. I want to share an illustration from St. Augustine as he shares this in his Doctoris or Treatise on teaching the Christian faith. He talks about a child or an infant entering into a household. Think about your first child or first grandchild, whatever it might be, coming into the world and into the house. The minute they are born, that child continues to hear their parents and grandparents and friends of the family speaking to that child. They talk to the child, they talk to the child, they talk to the child day after day after day. And after months of talking to the child, there comes that one moment when the child begins to say something vocally, but it's not yet discernible. You have no idea what they said, but they acted as if they're holding a conversation with you. Most of the time, it's something like, nope, nope, I heard it. It's dada, not mama first, right? That's usually what we kind of force our ears to hear when our kid first speaks. They speak, and you don't always know what they're saying. You look at your spouse, you look at anyone else in the room, and you just say, okay, and you move on. But you keep talking. You keep talking. The child continues to hear and hear and hear yet again. And then the day comes when they speak a word and you actually know what the word is. And they even used it in the right context, which makes you should watch your words in the home, just to let you know. There are certain words you probably don't want them using for the first time in the right context, because they tell everybody they learned it from you, whether that's true or not. It's repeated, it's repeated, it's repeated over and over and over again. And when that child speaks that first word, they are not yet able to read for themselves. And parents and grandparents and sitters and teachers will read books to the child over and over and over. And then one of these days, you will turn the pages and your child will be reading the words on the page. And then you'll be more floored when they read the words on a page of a book that you haven't read 100 times. But they can't yet write their own sentences, and yet you, others, teachers will continue to work as a community with that child so that they might write for themselves. Augustine shares this example as a great illustration that if the flame of faith is to continue, it will take this kind of consistency in dialogue and talk with your child, with your grandchild. They will have to hear about Jesus over and over and over. You will have to speak about Him in the home. You will have to pray to Him in the home. You will have to point to Him in church to your children. Over and over and over. And when your kid says to you, Dad, stop, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, Jesus said to do this. When they roll your eye with their eyes at you and they do that, you know you're winning. You know that the words have begun to stick in their brilliant little spongy minds. But that's not it. Jesus also leaves some incredible gifts in His church, means of grace, which He has promised will keep the oil in the lamp and the lamp burning. He promises that through this meal, not only will we be led to confess sins and to receive forgiveness of sins, but we will also be strengthened in our faith as we move in and out of a crooked and twisted generation. And the more we learn, the more we grow, the more we become more and more dependent upon the gifts that Jesus gives, like the Lord's Supper. And as we grow, we become more dependent for one reason, is we know that we need them, not only for forgiveness, but so that we might be strengthened, that our flame may burn brightly in the midst of a dark world. Brothers and sisters, it seems daunting, it seems frightening, and the statistics bear that out for the amount of people that are leaving the church. But know today that you, we, and the Lord is poised to help you with the journey. That we are all committed in this place, not just to our children, but to your children. Not just to our grandchildren, but to your grandchildren. And then we will be able to stand one day and say, you know what? Nothing is impossible with whom? God. Nothing is impossible with who? God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, it is no secret that we are in a world that faces many attacks to our faith. Even our own sinful nature plays its part. But Lord, you have given us all that we need for life and salvation, for forgiveness, and for rekindling the flame that is weak in us. So, Lord, may your Holy Spirit continue to do his great work in us, in our people, in our children, in our grandchildren, and in the next generation to come. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.